more time. Can we cover you up just a little bit? Amen. Children's church is open. Children's church is open. Youth church is open. Amen. Youth church is open. Norlisha, I'm going to need you to come down here real quick for a quick assistance. Let's bless God that our children's church is back open, that our youth group is back. Amen. They're not small in number. Amen. We see it getting back to where it was. Amen. And we believe, God, that it's going to surpass. So I'm just going to go ahead and get into this because I don't have much time. Amen. But I'm not going to rush. We don't rush when we're getting other things done in life. And I think that one of the biggest problems here at the Unity Worship Center is that we've been rushing through everything. We've been trying to keep a time. And I'm not saying that I'm going to keep you here to 2 or 3 o'clock and all of that. But who are we to tell God we're done? And you know, I don't know about anybody else, but we come from the old church where it was nothing to walk out of church at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Altar calls insane. And we were seeing people actually walking in deliverance and they were experiencing breakthrough. And then we got over here and got cute. We got over here and we wanted to make sure that we made it to the lunch special. And you understand what I'm saying to you, but I don't know about nobody else, but I come from a place where you got the meal started for Sunday last night. Amen. And it's simmering. And you understand what I'm saying to you because you understood there wasn't no telling what time you was going to make it out of the house of the Lord. But when you made it out of the house of the Lord, you was going to be better for the time that you spent in it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? Amen. So today we are introducing, in fact, I want to start this series off, which is entitled The Way It Is Supposed to Be. Today I want to start this series off with a couple of questions. So when I ask these questions, I will need you to participate. And participate by answering how you honestly feel. Now listen, I don't want you to tell me what you think I ought to hear, because that ain't going to help you. But what I want you to do is I want you to answer every question honestly. Amen? Now, we groan about everything else, so let's be grown about honesty. Amen? How many of us, and I got four questions. How many of us, and what you're going to do is when they raise their hands, I don't want you to be concerned with their face or their names. I just want you to count the hands real quick. All right? And I promise you this is going to be pivotal throughout this sermon. Amen? How many of us in the sanctuary today are confident in our salvation? Let me ask that question a little bit better. Let me ask it like this. How many of us are saved and we know it? Put your hands up. I need you to keep them up so we can get an accurate count. Go ahead. Come up. That's scary. And this is no trick question at all. So I'm going to give you one more chance. Put your hands up. How many of you know that you are saved? How many of you in here are saved and you know it? No trick question, I promise. We've been tricked long enough. All right. How many of you in here can say honestly, you keep it 100 all the time? I see some of your Facebook posts. You say that you keep it 100 all the time. 95% don't. You know what? 95% of the time, say, you keep it 100, 95%. Let's give it 95%. Hey, man, we got one up there, two in the rafters. 95%. You count them? Count them up. Count them up. Hey, amen. We got to do this quickly. Okay. All right. Third question I'd like to ask is, how many of us in here believe the Bible? All right. Fourth and final question. if you looked into the Word today and realized that you are not in alignment with God nor His Word, would you honestly leave here today determined to start making changes that would get you in alignment with God and His Word? How many would you do that? If you would do that? Now, hold on now. Tell the truth now. I'm going to read that again. If you looked in the Word today and realized that you were not in alignment with God nor His Word, would you leave here today determined to start making changes that would get you in alignment with God and His Word? Let me see your hands if you would do that. And I want you to be honest about this. I want you to be honest. All right. Thank you. Today is a very serious assignment because God has been dealing with me about today for at least the last 3 weeks. So today I want to ask that you zero in and be honest with yourself all through this message. Because the majority of all the hell and high water many of us find ourselves constantly going through is not because of any of the reasons that we give blame to. I want you to know that your problem is not the white man. The problem is not the black man, nor affirmative action. Your problem is not your baby mama, your baby daddy. The problem isn't child support. The problem isn't the projects. The problem isn't the trailer parks. The problem isn't the government. And the problem is not your haters. The problem is, always has been, and always will be, sin and our sin nature. That is it. And if I'm just being real with you, I can't even tell you that the enemy is your problem. Because if you can grab hold of that nature, you can have victory over the enemy. And what has happened over the last, I'm just going to say, 100 years, is that we have had people come along who claim to be called by God, that started churches that talked about everything except God, except Jesus, except the Holy Spirit, and except sin. Now, I've been noticing something with preachers I've been watching, and just, kind of checking them out. And what we've done is we've got smooth about talking about sin so that we can say that at least we talked about it. So when we talk about sin, we talk about sin in the form of a joke, trying to call people out, and everyone laughs about the joke. But I want to tell you that sin is no joking matter. Because of all that comes, all of the consequences that come with sin, sin is the last thing that should ever be joked about. We now have pastors whose whole mission is to talk about, how you might be down now, how you might be broke now, but watch what God is about to do right in the midst of your haters. Let them laugh at you now. Let them whisper about you now. But oh, in a minute, God's about to change it around. Huh? And we got excited about that at first, didn't we? Just tell the truth and shame the devil. We got excited about that at first because let's just be real. A lot of us be down. Yep. Amen? A lot of us be broke and struggling. And when the preacher or the so-called man or woman of God comes and preaches about the very posture that we happen to be in, it's a no-brainer that every person in the building that is broke, broken, stuck, depressed is going to gravitate to that message and that preacher, not knowing that he or she is purposely pimping your position. When the woman walks in with four children and none of them look alike, and then all of a sudden the sermon begins to be like, you know, you've been struggling on your own and ain't had no help because ain't no man walked in with her, and then, you know, but God is about to send you somebody. And then all of a sudden she, because she needs somebody, she needs somebody, she needs some help. She's got four kids and she's struggling, and there's no one helping her. So guess what? She gravitates to that message and that messenger, not understanding that he is pimping her posture.
Yes, talk, man.
Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Talk.
Let me prove it, and this is so serious. How many of us have been in churches where there is a lot of hype? Whole lot of hype, where there is a whole lot of entertainment from the praise team to the pastor. It is nonstop entertainment. In most of these settings, you will hear a lot of catchy sayings that you've heard at other churches. It's a reason for that.
Yep.
It's a reason for that. Because wolves travel in packs. And in those services, once the preacher gets excited, he begins to hoop or simply scream a lot. But in the hooping and the screaming, he's telling you about how God is about to turn your situation around. Tell your neighbor, it's about to turn around for you. And you high-five your neighbor, and you high-fiving, and you telling your neighbor. And 3 years later, you're still telling your neighbor, and you're still high-fiving. But he's not turned anything around for you. I mean, and don't get this thing twisted, because when I was writing this morning, the Lord put this on my heart. He said, and tell him, yeah, you might have a nicer car. You might have a nicer crib. You understand what I'm saying to you? But that's at the hands of your job. And that's at the hands of overtime. That's what you sacrifice church for. Anybody can do that. But what you were banking on was that turnaround from God that the preacher promised 3 years ago that has never come to pass. And you know it hasn't come to pass because you're still depressed. You still angry. You still ain't got no peace. You still live paycheck to paycheck. You still operate in low self-esteem. And because the turnaround, and this is because the turnaround has never come to pass. In fact, you discovered that you can come up with all the material things this world has to offer, but have not peace. You can't truly enjoy all the material stuff that you came up on. How many of you wanted it, got it, and then couldn't enjoy it? Huh? It worked right, drove right, felt right, but you couldn't enjoy it. Have you ever got to the point to where you went after it? It took you a minute, but you got it. When you got it, it wasn't what you thought it would be. And then you fastened your eyes on something else to go after. Oh, y'all don't hear me in here.
All day long.
And let me put it like this. In fact, you don't need another preacher to tell you that God's about to bless you with a better job, a better house, a better car, or a spouse.
Yeah.
What you do need is a preacher to tell you what thus saith the Lord from the word of God. Preacher, I need to know how to deal with this flesh. If we're being real, you can keep your crib. I need to know how to deal with this flesh. Preacher, I need to know about the fruits of the Spirit. And I also need to know the acts of the flesh, because I heard those was evident. Preacher, I need to know about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Preacher, tell me the word. May I suggest to you that this 21st century westernized Candyland Christianity that most of us have grown accustomed to and what we all call church is not what God had in mind. It is not the example from the book of Acts. And what has happened is that we have believed this foolishness. And as a consequence, our lives is all jacked up. The reason why our lives are all jacked up is because when we believed the hype, but the hype didn't happen, we didn't sit back and trace that thing back, that lie back to the preacher who lied about it. We mistakenly traced that back to God not keeping his word. Because we don't really check folk out, and we take, because you say this is what you are, this is what you are. So when he said it, it should have happened. But can I just go ahead and tell you, there's a whole lot of things that people are going to say that are never going to come to pass because they do not have the heart nor the ear of God. Could you get excited about somebody coming and telling you that God is about to bless you crazy when you know you are a hot mess times three? So you just negate the fact that you are a hot mess times three, and you get excited about a blessing or a next level that is never going to come. Watch this. Not because it's not there for you, not because God possibly does not have it for you, but simply because of your history. Yeah. And history says, if I bless you with something greater the mess you get in. Right. Because what I've blessed you with thus far, you've messed it all up. Lord, have mercy. How many of you are ready for your next level? But you've yet to clear the level you are on. Everybody want a Lexus, but don't nobody want to pay premium. I had a Lexus. I had a Lexus too. Hey, I like your Lexus, yeah. Just let that sink in your spirit. I had a Lexus, and I remember I was in Louisville. And I was working out. I was at the park, and I was working out. I was walking, and I jumped in the car. I'd done my time, and because that's what working out is for me, is doing my time. And I got in my car, and I seen this young brother, and he had a newer Lexus, and I had been paying for this premium for about a month and a half now that I had this car, and the premium was expensive. And so I was looking for somebody. I done called the Lexus dealership and said, I know it say premium, but what if I put the middle grade in there? How about that? How about we put the height in there? And he said, we don't recommend that, because what you'll do is you'll end up paying more down the line. I saw the young brother in the new Lexus. His is all pretty, you know, and I said, yo, hey. And he was going this way. I was coming out of the park, and I said, man, that's nice, man. He said, thanks, man. Yours too. I said, thanks. I said, but I got a question. You really put premium in yours? Dum dum, dum dum. I'm waiting for the answer, right? Because you know, regular is about 40 cents cheaper, and it makes a difference, amen. And so he said, yeah, man, that's all you can put in it, man. Are you gonna mess it up and end up paying more later? Can I just go ahead and suggest that maybe some of us are trying to get to these next levels, though we've not cleared the level that we own. We want to rock in premium, but we've yet to understand just regular unleaded.
That's it.
And maybe us have jumped on some stages that are not ours. And as a consequence, it's been kicking your butt since you've been on that stage. Can I just go ahead and say, drop your pride and get up off that stage and get back to where you're supposed to be? The way church has been operating is not an example from the book of Acts, and it has people's lives jacked up. And it's time that we get it the way it's supposed to be. The book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. But my focus will be on verse number 6. The book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. And I want you to know that sometimes when I see words that I cannot pronounce, I do the whole, how do you say it? And then I promise you, I practice it. I practice it for a little while. And it never seems to fail that when I see the word, I don't remember how to say it. So, here we go. Now, when they had passed through, and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. This is very important. Text this part right here. Then Paul, as his custom was, I want you to underscore that right there, as his custom was. In other words, it meant this is what he done. This is what he done. Notice it's as his custom was, and it doesn't put a limit on where his custom is. Wherever he shows up, it's as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded. Some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. And the Jews who were not persuaded, catch this, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Here's what I want you to look at. Verse number 6. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city. Underscore that, rulers of the city, because in our next version it's going to say something else. And some of the rulers, to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Now, Jason of Thessalonica was a Jewish convert and an early Christian believer. And as Paul, the Bible says that Paul has entered into the synagogue, which is the church, and he preached Jesus, and some rocked with him, but some didn't. Now, this verse number 6 is what I want to focus on because it's major. When the believing Jews couldn't find the apostles, when the unbelieving Jews couldn't find the apostles or the apostle Paul, they grab Jason and some of the believers, and they take them to the rulers of the city. And look what it says they say. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. So there's been a reputation, because he's saying that they've turned the world upside down, but now they're here. So in other words, they've been going so hard that before they got to Thessalonica had already heard about them. This is important. Look what they are being accused of through the gospel, through the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By preaching Jesus, they are turning the world upside down. Can I ask everyone in the building a question? When was the last time you preaching Jesus turned the world upside down? May I ask you again? When was the last time you preaching, or let's just put it like, let's make it easier, witnessing about Jesus turned the world upside down, turned Lexington upside down, turned New Circle Road upside down, turned the street that you live on, how about that, upside down? Are you preaching Jesus, witnessing Jesus, the way it's supposed to be? Does every person on your street know you saved? When's the last time you stopped while somebody was working on their truck, sweeping their lawn, sweeping their porch, and had a conversation about Jesus? When's the last time you've had someone in your family that was a hot mess and you talked to them about Jesus? See, but you can't talk to folk about what you don't live yourself. And so we've, oh Lord have mercy. Okay, let me not get too ahead of myself. I want to show you this same verse number 6 in the Message Bible. Give it to me in the Message Bible. And it says, when they couldn't find them, they collared Jason and his friends inside and dragged them before the city fathers, yelling hysterically, these people are out to destroy the world. And now they've shown up on our doorstep, attacking everything we hold dear. I really want you to see that. Whitney, you can put it in the message version. And she, what she done was she put it 1 through 6 in there. Just go on and scroll up, and I'll catch it. Amen. Because I want you to see the difference. It says that they collared them. I want you to understand how, because some of y'all, you know, scared to be saved, and you ain't went through nothing. Well. In fact, the book of Hebrews said, you have not resisted to bloodshed, preaching this great gospel. See, okay, so I'm just going ahead and get ahead of myself. The church was not built to pay your light bill. The church was not built, to show up in court for your kids. The church was not built so that we could build Hollywood cathedrals trying to outdo one another. The church was never built for that. The church was built to teach doctrine about Jesus. So we've come to church for everything but Jesus. And I'm gonna tell you something. For the last couple of months, I've been wrecking my brain trying to figure out why are people not getting this. And the Holy Spirit dealt with me for the last 3 weeks and said because they come for everything but Jesus. We want deliverance, but we don't really want Jesus. My heart's been broken, but I wanted it to be mended, but I don't want Jesus. I got a bad report, but I just could use the healing, but you can keep Jesus. And so you have if you've been here a few times, you know I go through a multiple of versions to stress my point. But when I found this verse and what it said in the message version, I almost lost it this morning. Because Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message Bible, shed light on a point that I have missed every time that I read this passage in the other versions. And the point I missed was this. Look how the game has changed between the people that were crying frantically because they were concerned that the Christians were going to destroy the world as they knew it. And how did they know the world to be? They knew the world to be sinful. They knew the world to be unjust. See, they didn't really dislike Jesus or the talk of Jesus because it was necessarily wrong. They disliked it because it was going to mess up their groove.
Yes, sir.
You see, any time that we got a good thing going, even if it's in a bad way, we get a little offended when people come along and want to correct that wrong, which is going to mess up what's been profitable, though it's been sinful. They knew the world to be sinful, and that's how they wanted the world to be. But the people of God, the followers of Jesus, were destroying the worldly ways one convert at a time.
Yeah.
And they were operating hysterically. And how were they destroying the worldly ways one person at a time? And how were they doing it? They were not doing it with a praise team. They were not doing it with a community day service. They were not doing it by paying light bills. They were doing it by preaching Jesus. That's it. They was not holding Sunday service to entertain you. Do you know that in our old church, we didn't need praise and worship. We just had it. You remember that? We didn't need praise and worship, huh? We just had it for the folk that was coming in that wasn't already a part of us because folk would tell you, for real, we just showing up for the word. We had people that were 18 to 25 years old saying, can we have Bible study twice a week? Because we understood the importance of the word. We didn't need edutainment. We just needed education. Didn't have to be mixed with anything, didn't have to be diluted, didn't have to be compromised, just the unadulterated word of God. And we have gotten rid of that So what happens is when people come and visit churches like this, like the Unity Worship Center, it's hard to sit and chill in because, hey, when's he going? The black cat crossing the road. And I want you to know that your breakthrough is on the way. Y'all remember when I used to do that mess? And my favorite preacher of all times, Noel Jones, he did an interview, and no, he was preaching, and he said this. He said, I want you to know that the hoop isn't the Holy Ghost, the hoop is me. And I said, ah! No! Come on. Come on. Come on, break down America. He said, the word excites me to the point to where I begin to do my own thing. That's my way of worship, but it's not the Holy Ghost. And he said, you know, because I can hoop it anytime. He said, the black cat crossed the road. And even though he was telling them, they said, yeah, praise God. He said, no, it's just the black cat crossing the road, man. But if we don't entertain you, a whole lot of visitors don't show back up. You understand what I'm saying to you? And it's no fault of their own. You understand what I'm saying? It's what they've been conditioned by. Praise team better be dope. So you saw when the praise team at the end, you know, they was trying to catch each other and they was trying to see how they was going to end that day. And if you for the entertainment of it, you got pressed. If you hadn't caught it by the end. So when there's a mess up on the praise thing, you know, people sitting there in the congregation doing this. When it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. How you expect this to be perfect, but you ain't perfect? How you expect something to be perfect collectively, but you ain't perfect individually? But you know what it is, don't you? Because you've been in them churches where them praise teams, where them pastors make them praise teams practice for 6 to 8 hours a day. I mean, not a day, but you know, they practice like it's a job. And don't get me wrong, I think that there should be excellence in everything done in the house of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying to you? But we're not going to get so caught up. We're not going to get so caught up with praise and worship that we say we're going to miss the word. I ain't coming back here no more because they don't got their praise and worship team down. As if the praise and worship was going to save your soul. Lord, I'm hurting. They were changing the world. They were destroying the world by preaching Jesus. And if you want to see the shooting slow down in Lexington, Kentucky, how about start preaching Jesus? Start living Jesus. You want to see the death by overdose slow down? Start preaching Jesus. Start living Jesus. You want to see domestic violence slow down? Start preaching Jesus. Start living Jesus. You don't need a bunch of gimmicks. You don't need a bunch of hype. You don't need a bunch of cats trying to sound deep. Just start preaching and living Jesus. Here was the difference I saw in verse number 6 that blew my mind. Acts chapter 17, verse number 6, the Message version. It says that when they couldn't find them, they collared Jason and his friends instead and drag them before the city of fathers, yelling hysterically, "These people are out to destroy the world, and now they've shown up on our doorstep, attacking everything we hold dear." I want you to get this. Here's the difference. These people are out to destroy the world. See, the difference between the believers then and the believers now, the Jews had it right. They weren't exaggerating. They wasn't in their feelings nor lying. The disciples were there to destroy the world and the demonic ways, one convert at a time. My Gigi, in fact, was this little old Baptist Christian warrior who sung in the choir. Lord, we need to bring the choirs back.
Ain't that it?
Lord, we need to bring the choirs back. And I always knew when my Gigi was in serious warfare about something or someone she loved or about some level of evil that she had either endured or witnessed, because just when the choir would think that they were done, she would belt out this old song that said, "Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down." And then she would take it deeper and she'd say, "You've been building your kingdom all over this land. Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down." And she wasn't concerned with a beat. She wasn't concerned with a rhythm. She wanted, her face was set like flint. She was not playing. She didn't care if the others jumped in on, we're going to have to get that together. She didn't care if the others jumped in on the song or not. She would take it deeper than she'd sing it. She'd say, "Preachers." She said, "The preachers are going to preach your kingdom down." And then she'd go deeper and she'd say, "The mothers are going to pray your kingdom down." And did you hear the assignment that was at hand? The preachers were never to jump in the pulpit and make you feel better, make you feel all good and cozy. The preachers were never to come and preach sermons that make you high-five your neighbor. The preachers were sent to preach hell down. And the first thing that they had to do in order to preach hell down was preach hell out of you. Say, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. She was talking about the community. And then she said, they're gonna preach your community. They're gonna preach your kingdom down. She was talking about the men and women of God in the pulpit. And then she said, the mothers are gonna pray. See, and the problem is that we ain't, oh Lord, have mercy.
Come on now. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Is it anybody in the building today that are of the mindset, I want to be in the army of the Lord. I want to be a part of tearing Satan's kingdom down. Where are the real preachers at? Where are the old church, the real old church mothers at? Where are the real deacons at? Is it anybody in the building today that is ready to get this thing the way it is supposed to be? Now, before you say, yeah, I'm ready. Because the first thing you're going to have to start with is you. Do you remember, how many of you remember going to the old churches and it was a spirit that when you walked in, there was a seriousness, there was a for real, there wasn't no plan. Wish you would act like you're going to play on your phone in church. Wish you would give phones to the kids while they're in church. I wish you would act like, you understand what I'm saying to you? Everybody was going to learn the word of God. And you walked out of the church with the word of God in your spirit, and you talked about the word of God on your job. You talked about the word of God at your family reunion. You talked about the word of God wherever you went. And churches were growing and growing all over the place. Now we say things like, "Oh, the preacher's boring." No, you silly. Ain't nobody mouthing the word of God boring. You're immature. Ain't nothing about the word of God boring. The problem is our, what did Vody say? It is our radical sin nature, our radical depravity when it comes to our sin nature. We so jacked up, you'd rather be somewhere headed to burning in hell than rather than getting a word that's going to keep.
That's it, man.
You understand what I'm saying to y'all today? The difference between us in six, verse number six, the difference between them, go right back to that first six, the part first part. The difference between them is, watch this, they are destroying the world. We ain't destroying the world. When my grandmother would sing that song, she didn't mean it like, if you come over here messing with us, we're going to tear your kingdom down. What you got the idea of, "Is Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down." Now, when I was in the club, they used to have a song that says, "Bump them other brothers, cause I'm down for my brothers. Bump them other brothers." And you could just be, you could be talking to Shawty over here on the side, and you know, and I'm just trying to see, and I'll be right back. And then all of a sudden, it would be peace. It had been peace in the club until that song came on. And over here, this set gonna click up. And over here, this set gonna click up. And over here, this set gonna click up. And you know, and everybody now, everybody's making sure they the way they need to be. You understand what I'm saying to you? But when I think about my old gray-haired grandmother, when she used to say, we're gonna, and when you hear that, you're, and you get the idea that she's not waiting for the enemy to attack them. Watch this. She's headed to attack them. You can't be comfortable, Satan. Know where you are. You can't be comfortable in our schools. You can't be comfortable on our jobs. You can't be comfortable in our marriages. You can't be comfortable in our church. We are going to tear your kingdom down. And when I was a child in church, you walked out of church wishing Satan would. Today we walk out of church headed to chill with Satan. Can I just go ahead and say this? I don't know why. But you can never be free of an enemy that you sleep with. And watch this. I'm not just talking about sexually. I'm talking about getting down with, period. How is it that you want better, but you keep operating in worse? The mentality that should leave the Unity Worship Center every Sunday is, bet I don't lose this week. Bet I win. Not only am I going to win, I'm going to win somebody to the kingdom. You know what? We know what, when we was foolish in our ways, when we were immature, when we thought we was cute out there in them streets, before those streets tore us up, we'd say stuff like, that's the old days. But I've come to declare, I believe we need to bring some of the old days back. We need to bring some of the old ways back. We need to, you understand what I'm saying to you? We need to get back to our first love. We need to get back to the way things used to be when it came to the things of God, and not be worried about this sissified Jesus that the world has been. Gangsters in the street. Pussycats in the church. Didn't care who we offended in the streets. Don't want to offend nobody now that I'm in church. That ain't you being meek. That's you being weak. That's you being a coward. Not only miss me with that and hit a tree. We don't even want that to go no further than us. You understand what I'm saying to you? And this is the mindset that we have to take on. If it is going to be the way that it's supposed to be, it's got to be God, not just on Sunday, God, not just on Wednesday, God, not just when there's a special auxiliary, but it's got to be God, for God I live and for. The way it was supposed to be. We don't have to be losing our children. We have to parent those children through the word of God. As for me and my house, I don't want to go to church. I didn't ask you. Let's go. This is a scary time when we'll make sure that our kids get to church, to get to school, but they don't get to church. What are we telling our children when we can let them go to the dance, when we can let them go to wherever it is that they're going to go, but then when it comes to church, they have an opinion? I remember growing up, it was two things. If you missed school, if you didn't go to school, you wasn't going outside. And when it came to church, even when you were sick, sit on the back row. Now we're trying to figure out why we don't have control of our children. And everybody wants to talk about taking God out of the schools. No, baby, be concerned about taking God out of your house. You remember back in the days when you used to walk over people's house, you used to walk in people's house and they had a Bible just sitting in the living room. They might not have opened it for 3 weeks, but at least there was something that said, God, you know, somewhere up in here. You understand what I'm saying to you? But you will be hard pressed to walk into a household today and find a Bible just sitting there. be hard pressed.
Amen. That's the truth.
It has got to get back to the way. And watch this. Watch this. Can I just say this? And I'm done. I want you to understand this. It's so much better on this side. I mean no disrespect when I say this, but you said it yourself. On the other side, we probably have more money than everybody in here put together. Drove far, far better than most people in here put together. Cribs, see, because I can look at him and say, because he know, you know, immaculate. And I still come to tell you that it's so much better on this side. See, when he said stuff in the word like, no sex before marriage, guess what that ensures? Your heart don't get broke. Right. What about that? That ensures your heart don't get broke.
Yep.
That ensures that when, and you don't get it because we got engaged, you get it because I got your last name.
Uh-huh.
That ensures that the one who I'm with thought I was worth it. Lord, have mercy. Can I just go ahead and talk to my single people? Ladies, you don't just want him to go home on his own that night. You want the key so that you can just pop up at 2 in the morning. Not to get you on, but to make sure ain't nobody up in there because you done engaged me.
Mm-hmm.
We engaged. Now, I want to make sure that this is that you who you say you are. So don't, you ain't got no problem at 3:00 in the morning. I'll just pop up and walk in because shouldn't nobody be in here no way.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We deal with this superficial love now where I love you, but you can't have the code to my phone. Single ladies, let me tell you something. If you can't get the code to their phone, move on. Huh? Because when you ain't got nothing to hide, you ain't got nothing to hide. You understand what I'm saying to you? And the next time you run up on your mate and you say, let me see your phone. Oh, have you seen the TikTok thing where the guy says, she's trying to get the phone. He says, let me get your phone. And he starts faking a seizure.
Yeah.
She says, let me get your phone. And he's in the pool. It's 3 feet of water. And he starts acting like he's drowned. I want you to understand something, okay? And so there's value in doing it the right way.
Yes.
There is value in doing, and every time that you do it the wrong way, you devalue you. And you tell the other suitors that you're not worth kingdom love. It's got to get back. And that's what we're going to deal with this sermon series, to the way it's supposed to be. We're going to talk about, in the weeks to come, why we love Jesus, who he is, who this awesome Holy Spirit is, why you can trust in him over your flesh, why you can trust in him over what society is trying to drill into your brain. Let me ask you a question, and I'm done. How many of you have done it God's way? And you can say, I done it God's way and it worked. Anybody in here? Put your hands up. You should be proud of that. I done it God's way and it worked. Now, how many of you can say, I did it my way, and for real, I'm still lightweight recovering from it? And it will be that way every time. I asked you 4 questions. We're done. Can I get that last scripture up? I asked you 4 questions. Does she have the last scripture up there? The last one that was on, she doesn't have it up there. I asked you 4 questions. The first one is, how many of you know that you're saved for real? And 13 people said they knew that they were saved for real. Isn't that scary? Isn't that scary? How in the world could we know that we're not saved for real and not be in an urgent mindset to do something about it? I don't want this to be the place you come to have fun anymore. I want this to be the place you come to get it straight, to get it right, to get in alignment. I want to read you real quickly these verses. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, and it says, all who indulge in a sinful life are dangerously lawless, for sin is a major disruption of God's order. Come on, give me number 5. Did she give me all of them? Does she have all of them up there? She got what? Give me 5. We'll work with 5 and 6. Surely you know that Christ showed up in the order to get rid of sin. There is no sin in him, and sin is not a part of his program. So coming to church is not enough. We got to get rid of the sin because it's not a part of his program. So somebody with a Bible, find me 1 John 3. I'm going to do it real quickly because I want you to get this. Give me verse number 6. No one who lives deeply in Christ makes a practice of sin. Okay? Read out loud the rest of it. Go back, honey. No one who lives deeply in Christ makes a practice of sin. None of those who do practice sin have taken a good look at Christ. They've got him all backwards. This gets deep, amen? I'm going to find this version so that I can give it to you. All right, verse number 7. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because of God's life, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. Get this part right here. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. I asked you if you were saved and you knew it. So we often, when we talk about sin, we begin to think about, like, you know, we begin to think about major things, right? But how many of you be lying sometime? Sin. How many of you show favoritism to people? Sin. How many of you in here, if you'll be honest and just say, I really don't love all of my Christian brothers and sisters, not even the ones in this church. Just tell the truth. You know, you can raise your hand. It'll be okay because it shows. Yeah. You know how it shows? We don't even speak to everybody. Don't speak to everybody before we leave. We just speak to who we cool with. Yep. Sin. How many of us are sleeping around and we ain't married? Sin. We got to get a better poker face, baby. Sin. This is sin. Now, listen. How many in here today will say, I, at times, can be guilty of purposely sinning, whatever your sin is? Just put your hands in the air. I want to see how real we are. I can be guilty, now this is what I said, of purposely sinning. Okay? So I want to show you something real quick. Kim, can you give me Hebrews 10 and 26? And I'm done, I promise. I want to show you something. Purposely. Remember that word? Purposely. I'm going to show you something. Because we're playing around and this thing is going to, man. It says, for if we willfully sin, that means purposely. Huh? After we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Here's what you get, though, in verse number 27. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery, shameful or indignation which will devour the adversary. So as we purposely from time, you know, we purposely from time to time sin, you come out of sonship with God and you go into being an enemy. Because anything that you do, you know, constantly is a habit, which is sin. Which is sin. Amen? Y'all quiet in here. And he says this, he says, if you deliberately, purposely continue sinning after you've received the knowledge of the truth, then, so guess what? Can I just go ahead and make this? So when you go lay up after this, that's purposely. When you go cuss after this, that's purposely. When you lie after this, that's purposely after receiving knowledge of the truth. Nobody in this building right now can go do what they usually do without being concerned about hell. And here's the worst part. And we're usually training kids, grandkids, friends. We're training them for hell. We're training them for hell. Last I checked, I read where Spurgeon said, you in hell for a trillion years and realize that disconnect from God cost you everything. This is not a game. And so all of you said that you believed in the Bible, 22 at least said they believe in the Bible, 28 said they believe in the Bible. Then you got to believe in hell. And you got to believe the requirements of hell. Yep. And it is a life separated from God. Now get this. You shouldn't love God. You shouldn't follow God because you don't want to go to hell. You should follow God because you love him. And until he stops becoming until he stops being a list of do's and don'ts in your life, you will never connect to the fact that this is supposed to be a loving relationship. And here's the hurtful part for me, because I love you. It's costing you. It is costing you. It is costing you. It is costing you. It's costing you now, and it's going to cost you so much more later. Understand what I'm saying to you. So, preach Jesus, live Jesus. It's better on the other side. And you don't get to say, I tried it and it didn't work for me. Then you didn't try it, because it works. If you say you tried it and it didn't work for you, you did not try it, because it works. Amen. How many of you in here saved and you know it? That ain't 13 hands. How many of you real 95% of the time? Are you for real? So 95% of the time, you're walking the ways of God? Then you ain't real. Because as you mature, you begin to understand the only real thing is who died for you. Don't nobody care nothing about you. If you, I tell it like it is. Well, tell yourself like it is. Amen. It's just me. Well, me ain't good enough. It's supposed to be about him 100% of the time. And you can still have a life within that. How many of you believe the word of God? Huh? It ain't no trick question. How many of you believe the word of God? It was a lot of y'all at first. How many of you believe that the word of God is true? Then why don't you do it? I'm going to tell you something. I hear you, Holy Ghost. God is tired of hearing your moaning and complaining.
Well, I don't know why I gotta, well, I don't know why, and why I gotta be shut up. Maybe what if Jesus said, well, why I gotta die for him? Why should I die for people that I know ain't gonna act like they got no sense? Shut up with your childish complaining. You get mad at your kids because they complain about rules you set, but you cry about the rules God has set. Now, we've been in the Word, amen? And we've seen that for the majority of us, we're not, ain't nobody in here lining up for real. For the majority of us, we ain't lining up, amen? Now, you said if you looked in the Word and you seen that how you was living was not lining up with the Word, you would walk out of here with a seriousness about making a change so that you could be lining up with the Word. How many of you still going to do that? Yeah. Be careful, because lines of sin. Careful, lines of sin. Now, how many of us going to do it? We had 27 that said they was. Now, how many of us going to do it now? See, because not to is foolishness. Not to is to say, I'm just going to keep my life the way it is. I'm all right with it. I'm all right with the hit and runs in my life. I'm all right with feeling lonely. I'm all right broken, depressed, depleted, disgruntled. Walk out of this building today, beloved, with a mind changed, with a mind changed. No matter how, and it's going to be hard. Ain't nobody using lying to you. You know why it's going to be hard? Because you've chose otherwise. So now you got to get rid of what you chose. You got to cleanse yourself of what you chose and choose correctly. Amen? Yeah. Stand to your feet. Let me get you out of here.